Well, it's good to be here tonight, friends, and to be before you with this message. You're not going to want to miss it. The old Puritans had long sermon titles because their sermons had so much to say. If you will excuse me, friends, I have a long sermon title for you tonight because I have a lot to say, and I'll get to that title in a minute. But what we've accomplished in our churches today is to make men and women religious without Christ and give them a false sense of security in a society that is on a mad rush to hell. Everyone is willing to take a Savior that will keep them out of hell, but nobody wants a Lord who will keep them from sinning. The old-time Puritan preachers had these long titles attached to their sermons because they had so much truth jammed in there to speak to sinners in their generation. And if you pardon me, friends, I want to bring you the title of my message this evening, which is, Come Kill Your God and Come Clean with the God of the Bible, or Just Go On to Hell Clutching Your Idols. Now that's the title of my message this evening, friends, because I believe everyone has a God they serve. We have found us a religion we are comfortable with, and we have found us a God we can get by with so long as He doesn't get in the way of our daily living. If you're not careful, some of you will go to hell hanging on to your God with one hand and clutching your idols in the other. This stuff we call salvation in our church today is a byproduct of anemic evangelism, which has been handed out like free Kool-Aid, and everybody's drunk it, and we drank it because it was easy to swallow and it tasted good going down, but it did nothing for our spiritual condition, nor did it fix our sin problem of a broken law of God, whereby we stand guilty beneath the condemnation of a holy God who hates sin, who has to deal with sin, and who will punish sin. Our trouble is, we've never seen our sins for what they are, arrows into the heart of God the Father. No one preaches the law today that shuts men up and women to God for salvation. But the law must be preached, because one day the sentencing of the law will be carried out on all guilty lawbreakers. God declares that the requirement to get into His holy heaven is perfection. And no man is perfect, but all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. At a future judgment, every mother's son will be held up to the strictness and severity of the law of God, and everyone will fail that test because a crime has been committed through the transgression of God's law. The sentencing of the law must be carried out, and sin must be punished. The trouble with the modern church in our day is that we have congregations full of nice people who refuse to believe that God is a God who must punish sin. They have heard preacher after preacher for years tell them that if you go to hell, friend, it's because you sent yourself there. That's a bold-faced lie. You wouldn't send yourself to hell any more than you'd arrest yourself for committing a crime, try yourself, pronounce sentence against yourself, and lock yourself up in a prison for years. Nobody willingly will go to hell. That's why it says, listen to me, that's why it says over in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 22 and verse 13, Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You think you're going to walk on over to hell and jump on in there? No, sir. You will be taken by angels with a superhuman power. They will tie you up like a dirty hog, ready for the slaughterhouse, and you will scream your head off and gnash and bite your teeth in anger as they forcibly cast you into that burning pit of torment and misery. Now that's the introduction to my message tonight, friends, and you better pay close attention to what I have to say, because you're going to hear the gospel tonight in all its bloody colors. Some of you have never heard the real gospel before in your whole life, and this will shock you, because the gospel of the Son of God is an offense to lost religious people. It makes them fight mad, and it is foolishness to the world of pagan idolaters. Some of you won't like my message, and you sure as shooting won't like me, because I have a dirty job to do, friends, in hand-to-hand combat with you. Because before you will listen to me proclaim the God of the Bible, I first have to kill the God of your imagination. And so do you. Come kill your God and come clean with the God of the Bible, or just go on to hell clutching your idols. Now, you're going to have to throw them down, cast them aside to get to the God of the Bible, who declares in Isaiah 1:16, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil." Now that's what the God of the Bible declares about himself and what he thinks of your filthy, rotten sins. God will avenge himself against all sin, friend. My Bible is clear on this, as it describes the vengeance of God against sin in Isaiah by saying, "The sword of the Lord is filled with blood." And over in the New Testament, in 2 Thessalonians, we read of the avenging God coming out of heaven when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now that's the God of the Bible, friend. And the God of the Bible is a God who must punish sin. You better get your knife out and kill that little God you whittled out for yourself, who lets you sin all you want to and leaves you alone. Hear me now. Our churches are loaded with baptized heathen in love with their sins, who just got enough religion to comfort them on their way to hell. You better kill your God and come clean with the God of the Bible through repentance of sin. I'm here to warn you of the fearful wrath of God due to them that sin. You can't hide your sins from a holy, all-seeing God. God will smoke you out of your hole and chase you down and pursue you right up to the judgment and arraign you before angels and men to prove that you are guilty of breaking his strict law, and you will then have to face the severity of that broken law as a just judge then damns you forever in a devil's hell. They will have to hold you down and bind your hand and foot while you're screaming your fool head off. That's when your legs will go wobbly and lose their strength, and your knees will knock together like you're doing a Mexican cucaracha. And I say, we see your condition as you face the sentencing of the law. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burnings? Your knees will go to knocking then, friend. When your sin is found out, you better come clean with the God of the Bible now, before it's too late. Men must be awakened to their lost condition and see their danger of dying in their sins and come and tremble before the God of all majesty and eternity, who has power to cast you into hell. Jesus says, fear him. Jesus says in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Men must see their sin and feel their guilt before they will repent and come clean with God and seek him for mercy and forgiveness for sin. But the man who will not see his sin will not be troubled in conscience for his sin, nor will he be forced to confess and forsake it and condemn himself for it before a holy God. All the powers of hell will conspire together to keep man from seeing their sins and their guilt of sin. Be willing, friend, to know your condition now and be able to do something about it, to be willing for the Spirit of God to shine his holy spotlight on your soul and expose your sins, to search you and convince you of your guilt and peril, to stand one day before the God of all the earth and give an account to him. For it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Oh, friend, wouldn't you rather come clean with God now in repentance and throw down your most beloved idols and get to a bloodstained Savior from sin who hung on a ignoble cross on a hill called Calvary? Jesus Christ is the only remedy and refuge for sin, and he was nailed to a cross and crucified for sin. There he bore the curse, becoming sin for us. But you must get to Christ, friend. Salvation is Christ. The cross is the place where wicked men sought to get rid of him, but by his death it becomes the place where his saving power flows out to all, hear me now, flows out to all who come in repentance, confessing they are sinners and own him as their Savior and Lord. I'm all worn out, friend, from this message. I feel like a, excuse me, I feel like a dish rag that's been wrung out. But I feel I can't leave you without giving you an opportunity to come clean with God and do business with his son. I'm going to sing a hymn, friend, and if God's been dealing with your awakened soul through this message, then don't delay. You get to Christ. You get to Christ as fast as you can. In Matthew, Jesus said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Look at that man on the cross, friend. See the nails in his bleeding hands and feet? Look at that bloodstained Savior from sin as he hangs there, beckoning you to come to him. He says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How about you, friend? Are you ready and willing to kill your God and come clean with the God of the Bible? To throw down your shotgun of rebellion at his nail-pierced feet? To get rid of your filthy idols once and forever and confess and forsake your dirty, rotten sins? Then come to this blessed Savior from sin, the Lord Christ, and surrender all you are to all he is. You come as I sing. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.